of directors, but I'd like to really thank the folks that have come here, such as Mayor John Heading.
Hi.
And Council Marlis McPherson is here. And Red Robert Davis came here on his crutches. It was awesome. I'd also like to thank Scott Collins for being here today, as well as Scott Graham. I see Jennifer Little even came to this, as did Liz and Megan. Thank you for being here. And I'd also like to say a special congratulations to Terry Hicks. Congratulations on the almost opened Salty Sister Hotel on the Embarcadero. I'm just thinking, come on, everybody, let's give her a hand. It's going to be our newest accommodations, and they are amazing and flexible. So yet another complimentary lodging that we have. And complimentary is camping, RVs, VRBOs, Airbnb, hotels, motels. I think that we all play a great part in what Morro Bay brings to the table. I'd also really like to thank my past board members. I'd really like to thank Sean Green, Ken Clark, Taylor Newton, Maggie Jurin. They really helped me become part of this board. We're all excited about the launch of our new website, and I think that's a pretty big step in where we're headed. You know, I always like to think she's the captain of the ship, and we're the crew helping her on our course. listen to that. I think it's... that's pretty funny. Only in Morro Bay, that's right. With mental marketing guiding our way, too, with us guiding their actions, we have seen some really incredible press releases, some really amazing action on our website, really some big changes again coming, and as well as getting the statistics, the data that we need so that we can be more competitive. And with the board pushing you guys to do that, you know, we just keep getting better. We have a comp set that's pretty incredible, you guys. We have competition out there, starting with SLO. They're our big competitors. Again, Pismo, Cayucas, San Simeon, Cambria. They're complementary competitors, and we're all in this tourism game for San Luis Obispo County. We want them here. What we want is high ADR, high occupancy. We want to be the leader, and it takes a team of dedicated volunteers to help guide that. I also think it's important to note that Highway 1 was closed for a long, long time, 17 and 18. We had a long, long closure. People still are concerned because of the sporadic closures on Highway 1. My guests ask, is it open? Will I be able to do it? Still to this day because of the sporadic closures. We also had a great snow year. So what we saw in the first quarter were people skiing. You know, I had groups that actually said, we're not coming to Morro Bay, we're going to Tahoe, we're going to Mammoth, and changed their plans. That didn't help us, but you know what? It helped the state get out of a drought. So we have a nice long meeting today, so I'm going to cut it short and just say that I'm proud of Morro Bay, proud of our TBID board, proud of the council, and I'm looking forward to working through the challenges and through the positive promotion and launch of our new website. So thank you all.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you guys see me if I sit? All my stuff's on this table. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it. We're going to do two things. We have the website over here, which I'm going to show you last. We're very excited about it. And we're going to focus on the screen over here, which is the PowerPoint. And first thing we need to do is go through the 17-18 annual report. So we have copies of the annual report. If anybody wants a copy, they're welcome to grab one off the table if you don't have one. And I'm just going to run through some of the highlights. So let's see. Where did I point this over here? So Charlie just, I think he introduced the board. We're glad to have a full crew of board this year, which is really nice. It's the first year that I've had full seven seats occupied, and I'm thrilled about that. So influencing is still always the same. We keep on the funnel. We keep really, really focused on that funnel. Get Visit USA to bring people into our country. Visit California to bring them into the state. SoCal is responsible for into our county. And then we try to focus the majority of our dollars on getting them into our physical hotels. So that is my first goal and foremost goal. In 17-18, we had a total of 258,000 click-throughs on morobay.org, which is pretty strong. It's significantly up over the year before. And this is our old website that was faltering and not working well. And so, you know, we are expecting really good things with our new site, getting ready to be full force here soon. We had, out of those click-throughs, we had 46,342 hotel referrals. That means those are direct book referrals. And, of course, we don't have the option to see if they actually book with you guys. We can see a percentage of them, but not all of them. But that's what those clicks are, is actually going to your physical websites for a direct book versus doing an OTA booking, which we all know we don't want. The Visitor Center, which is located across the street, is managed by the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. And in 17-18, they had 5,700 visitors. Out of those, 43% were here for day stays. They were just coming through either on the way north or south and wanted more information, possibly where to see, how to see the rock. Is it in the middle of the water? Or can we, you know what? I'm sorry. I just remember we didn't open public comment. Were we supposed to open public comment, Charlie? Well, but Christine is here from the Queer Mountain that she can stay. Can you stay, Christine?
Yes.
You're okay? Okay. Sorry about that. And then 15% of those were business referrals to lodging, restaurant, retails, and recreation. We attended two of the big trade shows that we usually do every year. One is the IPW, which is part of the SoCal booth. And so that's a really nice combination because we work in conjunction with Michael from the county, and he really helps us get into new groups that we usually would not get to see. And then also we attended Go West. We've done Go West now 3 years, and we're seeing significant bookings for groups through Go West. So I think it's a really great channel for us. In 17-18, Charlie went for us to represent us. I was unable to go, and I appreciate him doing that. Domestic group travel, we're seeing a little bit of a pickup. You know, it was really slow in 17-18. I mean, we just saw dramatic change with Highway 1 being closed that entire year, and it literally opened 20 days after the year ended. So the entire year, Highway 1 was closed. So getting people to actually come in this area was really hard. It was definitely a challenge, and I think we did really well on it. One of the things that we did was mental marketing, and our office sat down immediately when it closed, and we talked about how do we redirect our money. And we moved money really quickly to redirect it, and we put additional money into the ad spend so that we could try to offset the loss of revenue that we knew we were going to see during 17-18. During the year, we funded 17 events. And that was a general fund contribution. Those events were funded through, and the events saw a total of 44,300 visitors to the events. We've worked really hard to solidify and grow our strategic partnerships. One of them is with Cal Poly. We are definitely the destination to visit when WOW Week is happening. You'll see, if you're out during WOW Week, you'll see piles of Cal Poly students in groups experiencing Morro Bay, probably for the first time. And that's a really great thing to do because they are the connect to their parents when they come to visit. So we're connecting through that. We also are in the Cal Poly calendar. This is their calendar that comes out every year. We're actually the only city that's in here. And this goes to every incoming freshman. So they all have them in their dorm room, and the calendar shows all of our events and everything that's going on in Morro Bay. So it's a great coup for us to be able to grab that from anybody else. I'm trying to be quiet about it because I don't think anybody's figured it out yet. 17-18, we were on the cover of the Central Coast Tourism Council roadmap. This is the most used roadmap in California. They print 225,000 maps, and it's mainly in California visitor centers. So as you're traveling across California, you can pick up the map, and being on the cover was really huge. We also, the image on the right is the back cover. We're on the back cover for this coming year. It should come out hopefully in the next 30 days, and I mean, we have them in our office, and you can never tell the front from the back. I mean, they flip back and forth. So getting the back cover for year two, I think, is a really strong thing for us, and I'm happy to have that connection with CCTC. The SLO-Cal partnership has grown really strong. We've done a lot of outreach with their film group, and I think they're actually going through transition, trying to get somebody new to start managing the film commission. But in 17-18, we had Showtime come film The Affair here, and they were here for, I think, almost 2 weeks filming. It was really great, and great shots of Morro Bay. HGTV filmed a segment here on beach bargains to buy a house. I mean, it was amazing. I don't know where they found a house for under $400,000, but they did, and they bought it, and they renovated it. So that was interesting. But we do a lot more than just the film commission with SLO-Cal. One of the things we do is we host a lot of their incoming groups, whether it's travel, trade that Michael will bring in, trying to get these different travel groups to realize our destination, get them off that normal path of LA, San Francisco, and stop in the county. So that's been really well. And they've also connected us with the different Visit California foreign offices. So in 17-18, we hosted the Netherlands office, and they have since been really pushing out Morro Bay as a place to come and stay. So that's been a really strong alliance for us. So one of the fun things that happened was Visit California. They brought Dream Drive here. So this was to announce the reopening of Highway 1. I'm very emotional about it because Highway 1 was a really big deal for us to have closed. So they brought in international journalists. They brought in one person from all these different countries, and they each drove one car from Monterey down to Morro Bay, ending at our rock, which is amazing. And then after that, they stayed in Morro Bay. Most of the journalists stayed here for a two-day fam that SLO-Cal coordinated after that. So we got huge exposure from that. We also had a lot of rooms booked from that. But more importantly, that long-term exposure, we're still seeing really good exposure. One of the people that I toured around quite a bit was a lady from National Geographic, and she wanted to learn and talk about the history of the rock. And so we spent a lot of time on that. So I'm still hoping to see something from National Geographic. I mean, that's just a huge coup for us if we can get that done. So that was a really exciting time. I know a lot of you got to come down for that event, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It won't happen again, hopefully, right? But it definitely won't happen in Morro Bay. I'm sure they would take it somewhere else. So looking at the numbers, you know, annually, we were fairly flat for the year. Again, you know, I looked at all the surrounding communities on Highway 1, and they just had such bad drops. I mean, it was really difficult, especially the farther north you got. And I think we did really well holding our own during the Highway 1 closure. Our occupancy stayed pretty strong, but that was mainly because the hotels did reduce rates slightly. The ADR, if you take a look at the ADR, the month over month from 16 to 17, the year before was slightly higher, but I mean, we still held pretty well considering what we were dealing with. Total TOT for 17-18 was $2,676,000. In income, that is from TBID assessment dollars, that's 3%, it's $802,000. Plus we had an incremental amount from the ad sales for our guide, and then we had a general fund allocation from the city council of $125,428. So our total revenue into our budget was $932,598. I want to show you kind of a year-over-year synopsis of how it looked. You'll see that the year before, we trended really just holding for the year with Highway 1 being closed. And the estimate coming out of Jen Calloway's office is showing us with a slight increase this year, and she's expecting us to close at a little over $27 million in total receipts. For the year that we're reviewing, 17-18, you'll see on the right there it shows the total revenue. The expenses, meaning all of our advertising dollars, overhead salary was $916. That left a total of a little over $14,000. That goes back into our fund to be reused. That's all I have to talk about for 17-18. So I want to talk about where we stand right now as far as our first 6 months in 18-19. The year's doing really good. We have some really strong things that the board is doing. Of course, we continue to work hard to put our marketing dollars to the highest possible use we can to secure room stays. But some of the other things that we're going to talk about is the big board initiatives. One is the VR and RV, bringing them into the bid and how that's going to happen. Another one is creating the strategic plan that has been completed, and we're starting to implement that. And I think you'll see over the next 2 years implementation on the strategic plan, and then the creation of our new website, which launched just a couple days ago, and it's doing well, but it still needs work, and it's going to take a long time to get it, you know, really, really tightened, but we'll just keep working on it. So what I'd like to do now is I'm going to bring up Lori Keller. Lori has been hired by the board to do all of our VR and our RV outreach. And what it's done is it's allowed us to, the hoteliers and city staff, to not be, you know, the villains of doing this situation. It gives a third party the opportunity to really hear them out, hear the concerns and needs, and then they'll be coming to, she'll be coming to the board and talking about that, and we can kind of work through how we get this done, because it needs to be done. So, Lori, I'll have you come on up. I don't know if you want to stand or...
I think everybody can probably hear me.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, we're recording this, and I need to
go on my TV. Okay.
Sorry, because it's...
No worries, I'll just sit here. So about a month ago, Jennifer reached out to me, and excuse my voice, the super bloom has my super allergies going. She wanted to get an impartial third party to start having conversations with some of the vacation rental owners related to participating in the T-bid. And so I've started to have some one-to-one conversations, and at the end of this month, we'll have some more group conversations. But I've met with some of the larger vacation rental management firms one-on-one that represents about 20% of the total vacation rentals. And there's some themes that are starting to come up, that bubble up. Really, I'm just asking questions and then taking notes. But one of those first themes is really that cooperation versus competition. Over time, I think it sounds like there's been some sort of, if you want to call it competition or rub or however you want to call that, but the vacation rental owners that I've talked to really want to work with the hotels to kind of create an environment where all ships will rise. They really are looking to the hotels to help them not only with advocacy, but, you know, they want to make sure that Morro Bay has enforcement procedures in place, and they want to do the right thing. So that's one of the themes that have come up. Also, there's a real interest from them so far in terms of focused investment. So they want to really try to work on communicating and working together with hotels on more of a longer view, a longer term. They want to identify specific programs that help both hotels and vacation rentals. I mean, obviously, midweek off-season business is important to everyone. And so there was a lot of conversation about infrastructure and attractions that could be discussed and created to try to increase that business. Trying to remember what else that we... The infrastructure interest was really high, and I know that's not under the auspice of the T-bid specifically, but it was something that they all talked about in terms of visitor-serving infrastructure. And they didn't get into a lot of specific detail, but it was things that they talked about regarding, you know, lights and just things that would help the tourist community really enjoy the area much more. So that was something they were interested in terms of the city funding. And then they really felt strongly that there was an interest in more communication. It sounds like some of the vacation rentals haven't been, and of course, when you're a one-person vacation rental and you live in you know, Marin County, you're not going to be as involved in the community. But the ones that I did talk to, they were very interested in hearing more about the results of the T-bid and really being involved and included in the planning. So they really want to support things that have to do with the branding of Morro Bay. They felt like things like the Kite Festival, that came up several times as an example, really helped the overall branding of Morro Bay versus some of the other food and wine events or food events that didn't, that really provided more of just that weekend's occupancy, but not more of a long-term branding effect. And then the public relations efforts were mentioned quite frequently. So they really felt like being a part of having the visiting journalists come in, they felt like that helped to elevate the overall brand awareness of Morro Bay. So those are just some of the early comments, the themes that I've been hearing. The overall feeling from the people that I've talked to is that a 1% to maybe 1.5% assessment feels right to them. And so we'll have more meetings and get more public input, but just thought it might be interesting for you all to know at least what's bubbling up from the beginning.
Thank you. Thank you, Lori. We have two public outreach meetings scheduled that are going to be at the Vets Hall on 4:30 and 5:22 to open to the public and hear what they have to say about VRs and coming into the bid. So we're going to talk about a little more going forward is what we've been doing for the first 6 months of this year. Highway 1 opening on the 20th of July, we did a very quick turn campaign. We wanted to get ahead of our immediate competition in the county and push this out. So we did a small buy that was all digital ads, very focused on international travelers. Our three strongest targets were Canada, the UK, and Australia. It did very well. It ran in August, and it led the pack before even SoCal got their messages out. So I like that. September and October, we did our first wine promotion that was open to every hotelier. So we have done these in the past where the hotels had to pay to have the wine as part of their option, and we didn't have really strong support. I think we had about 7 hotels participate each year. This time we did free bottle of wine for 2-night stay for any hotel. They didn't have to pay. The bid paid for the wine, and it did really well for our first year. We saw a slight rise in occupancy and ADR. So I'm happy with that for first year. We had a total of 671 redemptions on that. We ran it over 2 months. I'm going to propose it actually again today at TBID to bring it back for next year as well, and I'm hoping we'll see a gain next year on growth for that. Oh, man, we're doing so good. So we started the digital campaign in November for Bright Lights Boat City going into our holiday and into our boat parade, and it was running really, really strong, and I'm sure all of you remember we had torrential downpour the week before the boat parade, and we ended up moving the boat parade off that last day of November, unfortunately, and moved it into December. And so, you know, I think we would have seen even better response on this if we had kept that date where it was, but we had to move it, unfortunately. And we did see a slight occupancy rise, but ADR was flat for the month of November. Our branding campaign is starting to get some traction. We've got part of this is for our strategic plan. We're trying to get into the outdoor recreation kind of capital feeling for SLO County. You know, we have every possible outdoor activity you can think of at our hands, and we can own that. And that's a really strong point in our strategic plan. So our ads really show the value of our outdoor assets. Got these are just mock-ups, just so you know, but this is Live Like a Local. It's the National Estuary focus with a couple hiking up Black Hill. And then Sustainable Fishing, Get Hooked, and this is about the Protect, Preserve, and Promote portion of the strategic plan. So I'm looking forward to getting more into that this next year. Another part of the strategic plan is to really push the idea that Morro Bay is a waterfront and a beach town. We have Bay in our name, so naturally people think of Bay, but they seem to forget that we have 6 miles of beaches, which is amazing. I mean, we have more beaches than most towns, and we need to promote that stronger. So you'll notice on the homepage for the website, it shows our beaches. So we're trying to really open that up a little farther and really show that we are a waterfront beach town. And then all the marketing dollars, they're focused all either north or south, not to the east of Morro Bay. So we're going after, you know, up to the, you know, San Jose area and then down through LA, Santa Barbara, and into Orange County. The target household income for the strategic plan is over $100,000. That is where we always have been with our ad dollars, just so everybody knows. That's not a change for us, but that is also what was recommended in the plan. This section, the page that I have up here, is the things to do section for the new website, and you'll notice it says hotels, beach town hotels, and so we're trying to really get that thought out there that we're a beach town property, not just a bay. Some of the things that we're doing as a board is we're trying to really emphasize that, I mean, Morro Bay is small, and every hotel is so close to the water. I mean, it doesn't matter where you stay. I mean, you're, like, right there. And so we're trying to go back out and relook at every hotel and rethink how we're positioning them and really show how close, you know, that is to the water or to the rock or to the bay, whatever we can show from the hotel angle. I think it, I mean, a hotel can be anywhere, right? A building is a building. We really want to show our assets, which is how close we are to the water. So that is what we're really, really kind of focusing on for the hotels. This is the photo on the left is the current website photo, and the one on the right is the new shot showing how close it is to the bay or to the beach and the rock. I mean, it's a huge difference. I mean, these type of things, I mean, they're simple changes, and they'll make a really good change on our website. So really looking forward to getting all of that process through on the new site. So before Scott closes, I'm going to open to public comment, and then I think I'll show the website. Is that okay? Nobody? Okay. So do we have any public comment? Christine Johnson from the Aquarium.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Christine Johnson, Executive Director, Central Coast Aquarium. Should I come to the front?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll ask Bob. Bob, is that all right? Oh, okay. Well, in that case, let's go outside. So, Christine Johnson, Executive Director, Central Coast Aquarium in Avila Beach, but actively working, hopefully, to expand our mission into Morro Bay. So I just thought I'd come by today. You're all key stakeholders in the tourism community, and as a potential new attraction, we would be too. So just briefly giving you an update on where we are, but before that, I want to talk to you about tourism partners that we have in Avila and what we do there, because it's unique to say, well, we already have an up-and-running nonprofit that operates as an attraction in Avila Beach, and so I can tell you a little bit about that, and then we can think about, oh, what might that be here in Morro Bay? So let me catch my breath. All right. Nobody has a clock on. Oh, all right. Great.
I'll push on you when you're
right.
Out of time.
Well, I will take a deep breath. But I do want to say congratulations to the success of the what you're all doing with your investment money this year, and thanks always to hoteliers for kicking in a bit from their profit to make things successful for the community overall. As a resident of Morro Bay, I can tell you we do appreciate that. So in Avila Beach, we see about, depends on who you talk to, 200,000 plus visitors a year. Morro Bay seems about 800,000. So, you know, Avila Beach is not like Morro Bay. It's not right off Highway 1. It's a little bit hard to get to. It's lovely, and it does have great weather, I have to be honest, but it's a little bit off the beaten path. So even so, with the aquarium being located there, we saw 28,000 people come into the aquarium paying $8 a person, more or less, in 2018. And that's been open 6 days a week, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., closed on Mondays. Any new projected Morro Bay Aquarium would be open different hours, maybe closing down on Mondays in the off-season, but being open 7 days a week during the high season. We just haven't done it in Avila yet. But I've only been there a year, so I can't make too much change. But who comes to visit us? We started about in July taking some zip code information. It's optional for the guests to tell us where they come from, but we feel like we've gotten quite a bit of feedback, and it's 75% of people who visit the Central Coast Aquarium come from outside Slo County. and then 24% come from inside Slo County. So if they're visiting us from outside Slo County, where are they coming from? And this is in order of where they're coming from: Kern County, Los Angeles County, Fresno, Tulare, and then Santa Barbara. We see a lot of people coming from Santa Maria to visit us. And then where do they come from within our own county? San Luis Obispo is the most visited, and then AG, Napomo, and Atascadero. Only 0.81% of our guests come from Morro Bay, actually. So the coast, the north coast, is not very represented at all. So we are seeing mostly South County. The Atascadero number is interesting, though, because I think there are a lot of families there, I'm assuming. Maybe that's why we've kind of exploded our membership numbers for this year. So maybe that's why Atascadero is a little bit higher. But that's also good news for something in Morro Bay, because we're very close, you know, 12 miles to Atascadero, too. Who do we work with in Avila? We work with Visit Avila Beach. They're your peers in Avila. And we work with California Highway 1 Discovery Route. That's the CBID for the county, right? We specifically work with their stewardship travel program, which encourages people when they visit here, you know, to do some good. So we were granted, about 6 months ago, almost $2,000 from tourism funds to create a do-it-yourself beach cleanup. So we bought 50 buckets and 50 grabbers and gloves, and basically through the tourism connection, they say, hey, if you're coming, do something good while you're here, go to the aquarium, just show up, and then, you know, tell them you want to do a beach cleanup, Bob Jones Trail or the community. So that's a new activity for us, but it's proving to be fantastic. And they don't have to pay, by the way. If they just want to come and get the beach stuff, they can do it. But mostly they do, then visit us. Oh, hotel packages. So we give discounted $2 off, or sometimes a free pass. Sometimes vacation rental people, they curate their guests. So when they have children, they come and they get a free day pass. But for example, some of the larger properties, we do a $2 off. I have some free passes, though, for you guys at the back if you're interested in coming to visit us and see what the setup is like. But for example, one of the properties, we just organize it. They just show their key card, and they get $2 off. So it's good for everybody, because Avila, like Morro Bay, beautiful and scenic, but not a lot to do. So they're excited that we're there. Okay, where are we in Morro Bay? So since March, the City Council, Cal Poly, and the Central Coast Aquarium have kind of rededicated themselves to taking a one-year time frame, now it's 11 months, to see if we can raise significant philanthropy to redevelop the Morro Bay Aquarium. What does that mean? It means that about in January, there was a feasibility study that was completed. $30,000 was raised by 50 donors within our own community, $4,000 from the county, and $10,000 from the city of Morro Bay to create a feasibility study. Based on those results, we're moving forward. What's next? Of course, another study. It's a $40,000 study again, but I did receive a $5,000 donation toward the study this weekend, so really I'm looking to raise $35,000 within a really quick span of time. We took about 6 months to raise that $35,000 for the feasibility study, but the timeline's compressed. We'd really like to see what interest there is. So, interestingly, there was not a tourism partner who donated to the first feasibility study. And the reason was, I just didn't have to come to you. I had raised the money in time through other businesses and the county and some local folks. So this time, though, I probably do need you, because we want to get to an architectural and exhibit concept plan. So me, I'm nice and chatty, and I can talk to anybody all day about the aquarium and why it would benefit Morro Bay, but we have to show a visual, a plan, and then that's exterior and interior. So I'm rushing. So at any rate, I'd like to raise $35,000 within the next, you know, day or two. Reasonably, though. You know, if we raised it kind of cold coming out of the feasibility study, so it would be great to have it within a month or two. I do have other donors who have identified themselves. So now I have the two bids. One is a local firm that works in Morro Bay. They're going to do the architecture. One is called Tenji, and they are an aquarium design firm. So they've each given me a bid. Okay, so questions? You can reach out to me at CentralCoastAquarium.com. Thanks.
Wow. Any other public comment? Any other public comment? Okay. I'm going to show you guys the new website. So where we are on this, it launched a couple days ago. There's still a lot of work to do. Give Megan a round of hand, because she's working really hard. She has foot surgery tomorrow, so I'm glad she's here. And she's been going through like every page and trying to get them tightened. And there's still a lot of things that need to be done, but it is up and running. So just why don't you scroll down so you can kind of see how it functions. See the black at the bottom that shows events? So they're right there. And as you scroll down, there's the things to do. And all these, you can go into any of these sections and look at different things. And then keep going down. There's another booking widget there. It's really big on the screen. It's usually not this big. And then there's the events. And the events scroll through right to left, just like our old site did. So you can look at events that way as well. And there's the blog. That's all Megan's writing. And then there's the bottom. So that's the home page. So back up at the top. Back up at the top. Maybe. So at the top we have, you can go into hotels. There's all different areas to go and look at hotels, but we're just going to go here. Say hotels and motels. And this goes to, scroll down a little bit, Megan. So see like all that open space. We want to tighten all that up so you see it higher on the page. We're working on it. And you can change how you want to list these, distance, recommended, set them up in a map. And then there's categories on the left, which I really like, trying to give some people some options. And then if you want to, why don't you go into, how about let's do Ascot in. Go ahead and search Ascot, just say Ascot and see if it'll come up. So if you don't know the full name, it still comes up, and you can click on the site. And then in here, it's really nice because you can add all sorts of things. You can put as many photos of your property as you want, which is really nice. And then you can also, below it, you can put whatever you want for an overview. It links to your Google map to show where you are in town. And then below it, we have all these options. And if you don't have it, it goes away. It won't be sitting there empty. So don't worry about that. But it has like an offers button. And so we can put in if you have any specials you're doing. And they can see them all right there. So it's really, really user-friendly, which I really like. Why don't you go to the events page? If you click on events, they're again on the... On the left side, there's a section. There's also a calendar that you can look by date of when you're going to be there and see what's coming. So there's all different ways to search for the different events. Still kind of working through a few things on this. They're having a little bit of challenge, but I think it's looking pretty good. And then maybe under things to do, show them. There's like outdoors. If you click on outdoors, there's the beaches. And so we've got all of our beaches set up, maybe.
Sorry.
It's okay. So there's like different components for each beach. You can go into each one and see where it is and what it has. All these different sections, some of them have been written, some of them have been pulled over from the old site. So just bear with us while we keep working through. Each one of these has to be rewritten. Can you go under meetings at the top for me, Megan? So weddings, reunions, social, this is kind of a nice area where we can put in all the different venues. Right now, it pulled over from the other site, and some of the venues are kind of random, but we'll go through it and clean them up and add to them. I really think we need to go out and get some photography of the different things to kind of show them in use and how they would be used. And then it needs, on the left, it needs a category where you can section off, I want an outdoor venue or I want an indoor venue. Like you can pick different things for your wedding or your reunion, whatever you're having. So it's a work in progress. I think it's a good start and it's functioning well. Jackrabbit's working well, working through when you click on your different listings. So that's all running really well. You guys like it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a start. I'm really happy compared to what we had before, so it can only get better. Megan's doing a great job on it.
Yay.
So still same thing, if you have any special offers you want to list, you can send those to me or to Liz. Liz updates all the offers, or if you have any events coming in that you know you'd want to add for your specific hotel, we can add them. If you're having like a wine and hors d'oeuvre party one day, we can add it under your for an event at your hotel. So I mean, it has really great options to really boost up the hotel pages, which is really nice. Yes?
If you want to maybe set up a system where we send those in,
Yes, when my brain can get around it, I will definitely set up a system, Chris. So
that would make your life easier.
Yes, it absolutely will. So that is all I have. Anybody, other public comment? Or Scott, you want to come up and talk for a minute? Okay. Here's our city manager, Scott Collins.
It's nice having a microphone that works. This will be the new city council chambers. Don't tell the fire chief. Anyways, thank you all so much for coming today, especially the industry leaders and our board members. We've had a good run of successful boards, and I'm really excited about this new board. Brings renewed energy and focus, and really thankful to our tourism staff. They do a lot of work. They work well beyond the 40 hours a week on a lot of cases, working on weekends to help us succeed as an industry and as a city and a community. I'm going to start off with some of the challenges, of course. I'm a city manager. I like doom and gloom. That's what we do. and then we turn to what our opportunities are. On the just kind of bisecting this a little bit, on the industry side, some of the challenges are that the competition is increasing rapidly for all of you. Everybody's getting better at this game of marketing. And so it's sort of like, at what point do you reach where you can't get better and stronger? That's something that we are intently focused on. But it is a concern. And when we have small changes like weather events or road closures, it really demonstrates how vulnerable we are when people can have other choices because the information is at their hand. So that's something we have to grapple with. But that's not just us. That's everyone in this industry. And then on the city side, our challenges are not unique in California. We face a fiscal cliff of sorts with the CalPERS pension liability. We haven't grown as a city. In fact, we've probably reduced staffing over the last 10 years, but our costs continue to climb because of things we can't control, mainly our pension and health care costs, especially pension. There was some decisions that were made in the past that we may or may not like, but folks that have earned their pension, they must be paid. But we also had declines in the stock market, and thus CalPERS looks to the cities to backfill those losses, significant losses. And the cost of doing business as we do today will continue to rise 10, 20, 30% increases in the next 5 to 10 years. And how are we going to fund that? Because our staffing, as I said, has actually declined over time. The demands on our staff have not. And so we want to meet the demands of our community, and that is our goal. And so figuring out how to do that is a challenge. But on the opportunity sides, again, looking at the industry, there's a lot to be said about that. On the event side, we have Amgen coming next month, which will showcase our awesome community to the rest of the world. Millions of people will see Morro Bay Rock and our community. And that's fantastic, and that's, basically a two-hour commercial to the world, and it's hard to come by. Those opportunities are hard to come by. We just went through the strategic planning process, and it almost, in some respects, doesn't matter what the strategic plan says, but it's what it does. It brings the industry and the community together and gives us an opportunity to say, hey, how are we doing, and how can we work better together? Because, as I mentioned, that the competition thing is real. But we have advantages in Morro Bay that other communities don't have. We have uniqueness. We have authenticity. We have a price point that puts us at an advantage compared to folks like Pismo Beach. And it's all about how you market that and how you pull out the stories of our community and sell us to the rest of the world. And maybe people would reconsider or even understand what Morro Bay is and want to come because they see how cool we are. So that is something that we are going to take the advantage of and work really well with our board and the industry to make happen. And we rely on everyone to show up in those discussions. We have the new website that Jen demonstrated. That was really good work for the previous board, and Jen's team is making that happen. And then on the city side, we are going through a goals process right now. And today, 6 o'clock at the community center, we'll be discussing the next phase of goals initiatives to make our goals come true. Finance and economic sustainability, I imagine, will be the number one goal that comes out of that process. It's not smart for a city manager to get in front of his council members, but I've heard from all of them say that thing, that very same thing in public, so I feel okay about saying that, and it is true. It's a partnership between the city and the business community. We can't live without you, and you need us to succeed for your businesses to thrive, and that includes the hotel and restaurant industry as well. The involvement of the business community in this discussion has been off the charts, at least compared to what I saw in previous years and what I've seen in other cities that I've worked for, including Santa Cruz and Boulder. That is a really key thing, that the business community shows up. It's difficult to do that when you have to run your own business and you have to take care of your family and your employees. They rely upon you. It's hard to find time to step out of that and think about the global issues of your economy and your community, but people are doing it, and it helps us think strategically and focused about how to move forward. Some of the initiatives that have been discussed through that process, though no decisions have been made on it, so I want to make sure that's clear, is high-speed internet. There are companies interested in partnering with the city to bring high-speed internet to the whole community. And, you know, while it might not seem like a big thing anymore because we all have our phones and it's, you know, just think about emails and things like that, it's not a big deal. But if you're a fledgling business owner, maybe working out of your home, having high-speed internet where you can upload to the internet 10 or 100 times faster than you currently can through the internet offerings, it's a big deal. And it could lead to diversification of our economy over time. These are important investments to consider. Can't think about just today. You got to think about 5 and 10 years down the road. The aquarium was mentioned by Christine Johnson. That is a partnership that we're seeing through. We hope through her Herculean efforts, as well as the industry and others in the community, step up and see what we can accomplish there, because we do need attractions in this community for people to stay more than one day, so that we're not just getting visitors who come to the Rock and leave and don't reinvest in our community. There's costs to them coming to our Rock and leaving, you know. So we need to find ways of capturing a return on that. We were talking about potentially public-private partnerships where the city steps up and helps finance improvements in businesses. And that's sort of a stepping out, a risk-taking on the city's part, but understanding that we want to see your businesses improve because that leads to revenue coming back into the city to fund the things that you need, like roads, police officers, firefighters, et cetera. And we recognize that we play a big role in making our community look better than it currently does. I mentioned the uniqueness factor, the eclecticness. Those are the things that people love about Morro Bay. It's the reason why I came here, quite frankly. But we need some improvements. We need things to look better. And that requires the city taking smart steps, both financially, but also in terms of our general plan, local coastal program, setting the stage for redevelopment that fits our community, but gives us the necessary improvements that increases the offerings for folks who live here and people who visit here. So there's more things for people to do. There's more vitality, and those things lead to positive reinforcement and improvement down the road. Those challenges are real. They're significant. They're not something we can sweep under the rug. There are other opportunities on the hotel or industry front, like was discussed earlier, vacation rentals and recreational vehicle parks being part of the T-bid. I think there's a recognition that T-bid or vacation rentals and recreational vehicle parks do benefit from tourism marketing, and it's not something they currently pay for, but it's all about going through a process that is fair and equitable, that incorporates the viewpoints of those who may see things differently. That's okay. Differences are okay. It can lead to better outcomes in the long run, so long as we involve folks in the process and move forward together. That's going to be fundamentally important. So those are some of the thoughts and musings of a city manager who doesn't sleep very much anymore. But ultimately what it boils down to is that the business community helps us, and we help the business community. We got to do our part. We got to work together. And it's not just one time. It's keep coming back to the table. If we're going to talk about arts and culture, how do we improve our offerings? If we're talking about infrastructure, how do we work together on that? If we're talking about equity across the industry, How do we do that? It's a conversation that evolves over time. It's not just one point in time engagement. So I'm happy to answer any questions that folks have about what I just said about the city, kind of where we're going as a community. I know we already did public comment, but that's sort of how we did it last year and seemed to get spark some good conversation. Or not.
I was kind of curious as far as events and having something more on the long, like 2-day events, as far as having more hotels getting, you know, revenue that way, as far as closing. I mean, our main concern is customers not having anything to do here.
Can we get you the mic? Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. I don't know where Liz.
Yeah, my question was more on the lines of having events for 2 days. I mean, as opposed to the the Margarita Festival, where you have the Valley folks coming in on a bus, where they come in the morning, leave in the night. The Harbor Festival going from 2 days to 1 day. I've mentioned this in the past also. Now the farmers market is gone. All of our customers are mainly asking, what are we going to do? What's there to do in Morro Bay? And I mean, there's nothing we can really say as far as other than go to the beach. You know, I mean, there's nothing else bringing anyone over here. It's more of a layover point as opposed to a vacation spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just hit it on the head right there. You know, we have to think events is one part of the strategy or tactic, if you will, for multi-day visits. You know, they require kind of the private sector stepping up and saying we want to bring an event to the community, and how do we make that happen? The city does currently fund through the general funds allocation to the TBID that's been investing in events, but they've sort of been scattershot. There are some that are strictly kind of community focused, which is fine, but maybe that's not the purview of tourism. You got to think more strategically about what's going to bring people here who otherwise wouldn't come here, and what's going to keep them here for more than 1 day, as you mentioned. And that was outlined in the tourism strategic plan. It said we need to have sort of a stakeholder group where that's discussed and says, well, you know, globally looking at what else is going on in the county, because we have to factor that in as well. Last year, the Margarita Festival was, you know, across the Strawberry Margarita Festival, literally the same day. You know, so we have to step back as a region and say, hey, that should never happen. You know, we shouldn't be taking stuff away from other communities. So how do we think about it globally? But back down to Morro Bay level, we really need to sit down with hoteliers and event promoters and figure out where are our gaps and how do we encourage two-day events, because those are expensive to put on, as you can imagine. But I definitely agree, we want more of those kind of offerings. It's just about when and where and how does it fit into the bigger picture. So if you're interested in participating in that, we'd love to have your viewpoints on it. Yeah. Right. Right. Good point. Yeah, sure.
Just to expand on a little bit, I mean, we do encourage the different events that come in to expand to more days. I think the Lighted Boat Parade and Rotary has done it. You know, they now start Friday night and they go through Sunday, which is helpful. But we actively encourage everybody to grow their events. So, I mean, like Scott said, they're independent groups. I mean, we can't force them to do a 2 or 3 day event. It has to be, you know, their choice. But we are willing to help them and support them if we can get that. And we are looking at other events to come in. The board had approved WSL, which is a professional surf contest, to come here in 2020. And it's a 4-day event, so that'll be a good coup for us. It's the same one that's in Pismo. So that'll be nice. But we are trying to do that. But, again, it's the individuals that have to. It's not, you know, not us. It's hard.
Car show is part of the Morro Bay's, I'm not sure, it was Morro Bay PD's event, right? I mean, there, it wasn't Morro Bay's? Because I thought it started with the, I forgot what they even called it, the Morro Bay's, the up and coming, huh? No, it was, I forgot. But I thought they were affiliated with Morro Bay Police Department or the younger crowd that joins them. So I was just kind of wondering, you know, could Morro Bay possibly have an event that they could throw at themselves.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly something that could be looked at. I mean, we're 4th of July is an example. Right now we have a city event, and it's the Tidelands Park, and it's for families, but it's during the day, and then, you know, folks go to Cayucas for a fireworks show. I mean, there's potential opportunity there to expand that into something else, but then stepping back strategically is like, does that make sense to invest heavily in a 4th of July event when tourists are already here, or does it make sense to put that on the shoulder season when every store is struggling? So the city certainly could be a partner in that. Amgen is an example. I know it's one day, but that is where the city's putting resources on the table. You know, city, police, fire, public works, you know, logistics, recreation, gen. I mean, basically every department is involved in that. But that gives us, you know, a 2-hour commercial to the rest of the world. So there's strategic value in that. We have the Bird Festival, which is, you know, it's a 3 or 4 day event. And that's, again, that was homespun. That was a group that came forward. It wasn't the city doing that. So I don't think there's a perfect answer to that, but part of it is just keep continuing the discussion and figuring out what's going to make sense for us.
What about the Oyster Festival?
Yeah.
Do I have to turn around that way? No, the camera? No, I think the best event we ever had here, it's been 10 years, me being in the town, was the first Oyster Festival we had it. Like, it was like super, like, the heat. But I don't know why. It's our own oysters. I mean, you know, it's not my company, but, you know, the Maloney family has been doing pretty great, and why can't we just bring it back and do it? Same thing during October. I mean, Harbor Festival, it's, you know, pretty much we don't really see it's going any further, right? It's more like going down or declining. So if we bring back the Oyster Festival, that will help. I mean, you know, we can have our own oysters promoting Morro Bay, you know, and they're all over now. So that just wanted to, you know, have a let you know that. And then I don't know about the T-beat part. I mean, you know, you still want to continue that, or, you know, do it like how it was before, you know, volunteering, taking over and, you know, separate it out. So maybe it's better. Maybe they can have more. It's just my way of thinking that easier for them what actually, you know, the spending-wise, the budgeting-wise, because, you know, budgets goes up too. Like, you know, same thing for us. We're running business, you know, but we know how the employee cost is all stuff going on too, but just, you know, all those things I wanted to bring it to in attention to see, reconsidered everything. I mean, the website looks great, but the cost and stuff, I don't know how many bid we had it before or not, but, you know, hopefully, you know, it shows more, it works better than the other one, right. I would say. Thanks.
Well, thank you for those comments. You know, I think the city has gotten better at this game. We obviously have a really strong tourism manager, which helps, who's been in the industry for how many years? 20? Too many years, I guess. and understands how it works. And then the city sort of behind that can really help. And that's why when I mentioned that it has to be a partnership. It's not just the city looking for people to come to us. It's sort of meeting in the middle. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I know Steve usually has a tough one, but not today, huh? All right. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming today and listening to our presentation, asking some good questions. And like I said, this discussion continues beyond today if we're going to succeed. And I know Jen has spun out some committee groups to look at specific facets of the strategic plan, like arts and culture, outdoor recreation, having folks who actually work in those industries come and talk to us about how we can make it easier for them to succeed. So this will be an ongoing thing that will lead to recommendations for the TBID board and ultimately City Council. Thank you.
TBID will start at 9:45.
right, everybody.
Thank you. And here we go again. I'd like to thank you all for hanging out for part two of our Tourism and Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting. I would like to establish a quorum. I'm here, Charles Yates, chair. I've got Steve Allen here next to me. Chris Kosteka is here. I also have Nancy Dickinson. Thank you. Amish Patel's here. I've got Joan and Isaac Sue. Joan Solu, thank you. Thank you all for being here. My board, I'm pretty proud of these people working hard, volunteering to come here and do this for all of Morro Bay. As we call this meeting to order, I'd also like to pause for a moment of silence. So please take that moment and reflect. Thank you. If we could all stand and face the American flag, please. And we recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First, I'd like to open any board member announcements. Coming from my board, does anybody have anything to announce today?
I'd just like to announce to the community that the Morro Bay High School Boys Varsity golf team were outright league champions. So straight out, took the title this year for the first time in a long time. So congratulations to Morro Bay High School Boys Varsity Golf.
Do we have staff announcements? No staff announcements. I'd like to open the floor to any public comment, and I think the public comment, Mike, is you? She's got it. Liz has got it here. Public comment.
Hello.
Me.
No. Yes, please.
I had a quick public comment on item B2, just because I have to go to work. That deals with the general fund allocation. And I appreciate you guys kind of letting me talk and then go to work. First off, I don't know if anyone drove around downtown, and there's been no official announcement yet, but the downtown streetlights, although not set up in maybe the dream fashion, they are up, and everything was well lit and felt pretty active and happening downtown, even though it's kind of tentatively done. So check that out. I think that's a good thing, and that was enabled in part from about 16 grand of TBID money, which is relatively minimal. And that kind of segues into my comment about item B2 and the general fund allocation. Historically, we're looking at about $150,000 of general fund allocation. That my guess is that this board is going to recommend that 150 goes to themselves, naturally. Whether or not that is supported by the city or council is going to depend largely on how that's phrased going back to council. And so as a Morro Bay resident, I know that I would be much more likely to support it if the language was phrased along the lines of the downtown street lighting project and other infrastructure adjacent type improvements to the city. Rather than earmarking these things for general marketing or ad buys or sponsorship or events. I know TBID money is putting heads in beds, or that's the intent, but something as simple as the $16,000 going towards downtown street lighting does that while also making the city better for more than just one day or 2 days. So that's just a plug to kind of massage the language of that general fund allocation request to allow for marketing Morro Bay through tangible assets and permanent improvements rather than single day events.
Thank you. Now get to work. Any other public comment? Hi, Erica. Seeing none. I think there was public comment. Val.
Hi, Charlie.
I just wanted to say, and I've had this discussion with Scott about a parking management plan, and I think that would be a good topic for the for you guys to discuss at some point, sooner better than later. My hotel is down by the water. I see all these cars every summer trying to get in and out from the Rock. There's, you know, one two-lane road. That's it. And I think it's a real disservice to the people that come and pay money to come to Morro Bay, and you know, it's and the locals. It's very frustrating. I think we need some other options. The best would be a road through the power plant. If that doesn't work out, I don't know. I guess we need a new bridge across the creek. We need to do something. It gets worse and less safe every year. And if this thing with the boatyard happens, and then they got boats hauling across the street too, we're looking at big trouble. It just gets worse every year. I mean, my hotel was built in 2004, and I've been watching it increase every year. One of these days, I'm going to get a little microphone out to the cars and go, "So, how do you like Morro Bay?" Well, you're sitting in line, you know. It's not good. Anyway, good luck on that.
Thank you, Val. Further public comment? Seeing none, we're going to keep on moving to our consent agenda. Up first, A1. Just asking the board for approval.
Yes, for consent agenda.
Yeah, for the consent agenda. So I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I second.
Calling for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions? Any nays? Passing the consent agenda. Now we're going to move on to our business items B1. Jennifer, you're up.
Good morning, board. So I'm here to talk about the February TOT report, and I'm sure all of you have seen that the numbers were down over last year. We had 12 days of rain this February versus one day of rain last year, and unfortunately those 12 days, 9 of them fell on weekends, which was really makes it hard for incoming guests, a lot of cancellations. So that is one of the significant things I would mention about the February numbers. And the other thing is, you know, the Valentine's Day fell on a Thursday. Last year we did a wine promotion because it was Wednesday, trying to help at least get people over from even just slow for one overnight. We did not do that this year. Restaurant passports did really well. We had 368 redeemed, so that's tracking really well. I was out this week at all the hotels, and I heard from a lot of people that they like the restaurant passport. They think it's stronger than the activity passport that we're doing right now for spring. So just a thought for you for next time. We might want to relook at that after we get the spring numbers back as well. Can I answer any other questions or any thoughts?
Board comments? Is it time for the board?
Good morning. Yeah, I know that we have a future agenda item for the TOT report, the information that we're going to get to come back, and I think we might be seeing that next month. But I get that we had more days of rain, and, you know, we're very weather-dependent here, very weather-dependent. But Highway 1 is open now. I know that there's a gate at Highway 1, and Highway 1 closes intermittently when it rains, but I feel like the opportunity when the gate opens is an opportunity to say we're open, especially because Morro Bay is the last incorporated, you know, city. It is the gateway, the city gateway to Big Sur. But I am concerned that, you know, the hotel revenue was so far off. And vacation rentals were down. I'm talking about year over year. I mean, the loss in revenue, we posted total receipts of $1,225,000 versus last year $1,469,000. That's actually people. I want the community to understand that means a loss of people coming into our community. And those people commodities are lost to our retailers and to our restaurants, too. And yes, we are very weather dependent, but then we should probably look at February again as an opportunity month when we talk about events coming up and those things. What can we do in February that we can do consistently? Because we continue to lose in this month, and it's really important. It's got Valentine's Day. It's got President's Day weekend. It's a huge opportunity month for us. So instead of looking at it in terms of loss, I'd like us to look at it in terms of being open and what the opportunities are for the board to support to get it forward, because that's a lot of people share and a lot of revenue. Because if you look at the next page, which has the star report comparison, and I know Jennifer usually shows us the reels on this, which we tend to trend higher when the real numbers are in. Is that right? We tend to trend higher when the real numbers are in. But I would love to see at least once a year a side-by-side comparison reporting all of the TOT, like Pismo Beach against Morro Bay, because if we tend to trend higher on STAR, they probably will too. So I'd like to see something in the future where we get the reality of this so we can see how Morro Bay is doing as a whole, because one of the areas for growth is obviously going to be adding new rooms and how we market those new rooms. Salty Sisters is coming on. So what trends do we have as a community coming forward? What trends can the board hit on to stabilize February and other months like it going forward? So those are my comments about the TOT report.
Jen, I know our properties up north were off too, so I think a lot of this is weather dependent for February. Mm-hmm. If I'm reading this correctly, though, San Luis Obispo RevPAR actually went up year-to-year comparison. Do we know possibly?
According to STAR. So that's not 100% of their rooms, but.
But do we know what the anomaly was there?
They have more rooms open. They opened like another 100 rooms.
So that improved the RevPAR?
Yeah.
Okay.
Occupancy went down. Mm-hmm. They increased their rate with some new inventory with higher rated rooms.
Got it. Jen, staying on that same topic, it was brought up earlier too. I would like to think that in these meetings is our perfect time where we discuss the challenges like Scott talked about and the situation that we talked about, like there's not enough to do, and those sites should be talked about in this room. But I hope as hoteliers, restaurants, and anybody involved in the tourism industry that our focus to our customers and our tourists is all the things we do have to do. Mm-hmm. Because most of our activities here are just naturally given. You know, of all the activities at our hotel, if people walk around, they talk about the otters that they see in the called the sanctuary, right? What do you call it? The birth? No.
Yeah, one part. No, nursery.
Nursery. The nursery and, again, the beaches and going out to Montaña de Oro and those type of opportunities that are just there. And that's where our focus needs to be with those people. And then behind the scenes, we're working on the challenges to create even more opportunities.
So let me, can I give you guys some updates on a few things really quick? So the WSL contest that we had not formally committed, but we recommended that we would like to support it with $10,000 is coming February 27th through March 1st, 2020, and that would be a consistent yearly event. So it's several days.
Can you tell them what it is? WSL,
the World Surf League. Okay. World Surf League. They do a contest in Pismo Beach as well, and they wanted to pick up a second one. So if you're a fledgling surfer that wants to go pro, you have to have so many points to go pro. And they only have most of the contests that they can get points at are international. And a lot of kids don't have the money to travel internationally. And so this group out of Pismo has started these contests with the intention of getting California, Florida, you know, Texas, those surfers here to earn points for going professional. So it's a good thing. It's a really good thing, and it'll be every year. It's backed by the World Surf Federation, which is really good. So it's not just like a local event. So it's pretty exciting, yeah. So that's February. But again, it's, you know, it's long term. You know, we tried to get them to bring it in this year, and they just couldn't do it. So, yep.
I think that is a, you know, one of the things is a multi-day sporting event highlighting our beach
is something that we just don't have. You know, the Big Bad and Ugly, you know, is a great one, but I think that this is going to really draw some big international attention to us. So it should be a lot of fun.
And I'm also trying to get a film, like a week-long film show to come here. We've talked with the Bay, and they're totally open to work around their scheduled time. So we have all the days open on weekdays. So we have good opportunities. We just have to find the partnerships that can bring it in. Okay.
Moving on to B2, Scott Collins.
Thank you, Chair and Board. I did have a PowerPoint, but I lost the disk, so you're going to have to bear with me. But I think a lot of you did see the presentation on April 9th, and I will provide it orally. There's not a lot of slides that were up there anyhow, but I did provide two handouts. They're also in the back. One is the listing of events that were funded and the amounts that they were funded at for this current fiscal year. And then also on a recommendation from one of the board members is to actually bring out the detailed budget that was the adopted budget for this current year so you understand the interplay of all the things that you fund, at least on a line item level, and how that relates back to the general fund allocation. Because certainly you could, if you want to do events and the general fund allocation is limited this year, you certainly could look at other parts of your existing budget that's funded through the assessment. So just want to note that. So back to the staff report. The recommendation is for the board to review different options for the general fund allocation amount that is provided by the city to tourism with the intention of kind of extenuating what you're already doing, and it's been the history to provide funding for events. And as Sean Green mentioned, this year, which is a new thing, was putting targeted investments into infrastructure for longer-term gain. That was something that the City Council had discussed last year as they were developing the budget, to look at the general fund allocation maybe as in terms of its reduction or maybe different or better use. And one of those discussion points was physical infrastructure improvements. So it was really good to see that come to fruition this year. But back to the report, I know we have some new members, so go through this. The City Council approved resolution number 316 back in 2016. That was after pretty lengthy conversations in the community about bringing tourism marketing into the city. It had gone through various iterations in the community, and the city took responsibility for managing promotions and marketing after that point. And within the resolution 316, there was a commitment made by the city. Now, this is not a legally bound document, but it's, you know, it was a commitment nonetheless that the city would provide $60,000 in general fund money every year plus 20% over TOT collections that exceed $3 million. We've seen that number increase since the city has taken ownership of the marketing efforts, up to the point where it's about $150,000 this fiscal year. Those funds, as I mentioned, have been used primarily for grants, but as the allocation has grown, it's also taken on things like covering traveling journalists' expenses to really incentivize them to come to Morro Bay to provide a different look and view. It doesn't have the same feel as an advertisement, you know, because they ground themselves in the city for a few days and really get to know folks, go to specific restaurants and really tease out some of the more interesting components of our community. And it's, we've seen our public, you know, seen those stories published in major publications that really get folks to understand what the charm that we have and the, as it was mentioned, the naturally given things to do in our community. Those things are really brought to light. And then this year, the little improvements like the downtown tree lighting and a few other things that have been supported. As I mentioned before, there was discussion at the City Council level last year in developing the fiscal year 18-19 budget, and even discussion about maybe eliminating or reducing the general fund allocation due to some budget concerns or maybe reallocating to infrastructure improvements entirely. But Council felt it was wise to maybe pause on that and really send it back to the TBID to have a discussion and engage with stakeholders, understanding that commitments have been made in the past about that money. Again, not legally bound, but it was something that was made as part of the move into the city. So moving into the next fiscal year, 19-20, I mentioned this in the meeting earlier today. We do face challenges, not unique to us, but ours are significant. We are facing a $325,000 deficit looking into next year. That number grows and grows and grows each successive year out, not because the city isn't trying really hard to reduce our expenses and not because our economy isn't doing well. It's really things that we have no control over. Our pension liability keeps growing. We have to fund the unfunded liability that remains from the faltering of the returns on their investment. So we have our part to do in that. We hope the state eventually gets their act together and looks at reform of our pension, but we have, again, no control over that other than advocating for that change. So in the meantime, we have to grapple with these deficits. And $325,000, while not huge, is something we need to look at seriously. So the discussion at council a couple weeks ago was, you know, from a staff side, recommending, you know, that we look at the general fund allocation since it had been brought up last year. We're looking at options to either reduce or eliminate, and any funds that were reduced or eliminated from the general fund allocation would be used to go right back into economic development. We do typically fund about $100,000 to $150,000 in general fund economic development activity. Wayfinding is one of the things we're looking at. Highway 1 signage needs to be improved. Those are things we're looking at. Investing in our economic development strategic plan implementation is key. I mentioned some of the things like high-speed internet. You know, really getting into the businesses and understanding what their needs are. How can the city help facilitate those things? How can we help invest in our infrastructure? Those are seriously important things because they have long-term ramifications, and we are working towards diversifying not only what's in our lodging community but what's in our overall economy, and those things benefit the tourist industry anyways. If we have more vitality, it only helps you. So this is not, there's no right or wrong answer. It's a tension point that we're grappling with. But our view is that we don't want to reduce services to the community because they are already razor thin. We aren't bloated. We are razor thin. I mean, we've reduced staff since I've got here, and again, the demands keep going up. So we're trying to find a way to balance all these things. And again, this is one of those opportunities to have a good dialogue with TBIT about. Council didn't specify what should occur so much as had a good discussion about what the options are. The first option was to look at outright elimination of the general fund allocation to TBID. You know, that's probably worth about $150,000 or a little bit more next year. The other option was to maybe just do something for 1 year and to see how it goes, and then come back next year and see if things improve, or if there's such a detriment to tourism efforts that wasn't a wise decision, or somewhere in the middle, maybe funding the baseline amount of $60,000 for next year and then reassessing the year out, or maintaining the general fund in its entirety. There's not necessarily any right or wrong answer, but those are options that council looked at, and there was discussions about the virtues of funding special events because there's a community aspect to that. There is a strategic investment aspect to that, as we heard earlier today in the annual stakeholder meeting. There's also support for the traveling journalists and infrastructure improvements. So it's sort of across the board, and council didn't specify which they wanted to go. They really wanted to hear from this board first before taking action moving forward. So those were the discussion points. As I mentioned, there's those two handouts that have all the grants that are been funded for this current year. 23 of them on average is about $3,500. So we understand some of these events do rely heavily on that, and others they are successful in and of themselves and probably could not necessarily live without it, but it wouldn't be a detriment to them. So it's sort of a mixed bag. And again, that was one of the discussion points during the strategic plan, was to look at this. You know, should we be investing $3,500 in 23 events, or should we be investing maybe a bigger chunk in one or two to hit, you know, those targeted months like Joan was mentioning earlier. And then there's the budget that outlines kind of the line items to really help understand what the rest of the budget is funded or how it's funded, so that there's definitely interplay with the general fund. The other aspect to consider is that we are working through the vacation rental RV discussion about bringing them into the T-bid. That probably will conclude and come back to this board in the fall or late summer, so we won't make the annual assessment period, but there's certainly opportunities to do it in mid-year. I think you probably have heard there is a willingness for vacation rentals to join and maybe RVs as well, and that could help offset some reduction if there was one to the general fund. So that just to help tee up the conversation, we would be looking for, if possible, consensus, or four votes to direct something back to council in terms of a recommendation. And happy to answer any questions.
Good report. Thank you, Scott. I think I speak for the whole board when I say we appreciate the candor and having an open dialogue. Can you walk us through, when you say a potential $325,000 deficit, is the city carrying a reserve fund, and those funds would just be drawn from there then?
Yes, if we were to do nothing, you could certainly draw down your general fund reserves. We did set a reserve policy. Council set a reserve policy this year, roughly 25%, 27.5%. He's our numbers guy, the mayor. And that is not necessarily industry standard, but that is a standard for Morro Bay, because we are vulnerable. That represents about a quarter of a year of expenditure. So it carries you through, you know, a significant emergency or natural disaster or man-made caused or a rupture in the economy. That is somewhat of a higher number than other cities, but it's one that our council felt comfortable with. Similarly, the T-bid set a reserve policy for the accumulation fund, and that is also something that could be looked at as the accumulation fund to backfill this for a year to see how things go if that was a choice made by the board. So that's kind of right there. But we are looking at, in the budget, which will be brought forward to the Finance Advisory Committee next week and then Council in May, as some reductions in our equipment, vehicle replacement funds. Again, we're trying to preserve our staff. We are also one of the lower paid agencies in the county, probably if not the lowest, one of the lowest, and really not trying to cut back on that because, you know, we have really good employees and want to keep them. So that's another tension point, but we do have some opportunities to reduce expenditures that are more on the supply side things, but you can't do that forever either, because then you have vehicles that fall apart, and you know if you have to replace them on the spot, they're a lot more expensive than doing it more strategically.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Scott, I also appreciate you coming forward today. Of the ideas that are being kicked around regarding those funds, the one of those that really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, I don't think, is the idea of funding it at a certain point with the idea of seeing what negative effect that may cause.
Right.
It takes too long.
Right.
If funds are cut today, we won't know for a couple of years how that plays out. So I don't see that one doing a whole lot.
But okay.
We understand there's a problem. There's a shortage. And
sure.
So
fair point. Thank you. Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's also understandable that a lot of the events that we funded are very local-centric, with a lot of, you know, the great events. They do draw some tourism, but a lot of the events that I look at that I helped, you know, I was one of the people voting to support these great events are local events. And I think that it is an opportunity for us to really take a sharp look at the events that we fund, how they're funded, who's putting them on, and for what reason. I think February, as Joan stated, is a great month to look for an event. However, it's got to be weather protected, so it's going to have to be something that's most likely inside. This is a really difficult challenge for the city, and I know it's difficult for our board to actually think that you guys might take the money away that drives a lot of revenue for the city, a lot of TOT, a lot of sales tax. They, you know, if these events aren't funded, some will die, and that would be a real, it would have a negative effect financially for the city. So I think that there's got to be some compromise, and I think that's where we're headed. That said, I think that we really have our work cut out for us. Question for the city that I have, are there assets that could be liquidated in the city? Does the city own property that's valuable? Are there things out there that could be turned to make a lot more money that could fill this deficit? Just curious.
Yeah, yes, there is. And one in particular that most of you are familiar with is the Stasios building, and that's part of a longer-term strategic initiative to maybe bring a hotel into town that connects waterfront to the downtown area. We do own some smaller properties, some of those would be incorporated in that project and some that aren't, but not. We did divest of infrastructure in the past or assets in the past, I think probably to address similar issues. And you know, sometimes you make those decisions half-cocked and they're not wise decisions. So that is something we do look at constantly, but we don't own a lot that could turn around quickly to fill a gap, you know, without thinking about the long-term ramifications. Just like you said about, you know, defunding events and understanding that it might take a year or two, or Chris said that, a year or two to really see what the impacts are.
I also want to thank you very much, Ms. Nancy. It's hard for me to assess, like I would love to see a scrubbing of the events to understand the impact, the potential impact on revenue, because there's a hopefully a virtuous circle that's happening here, that the events drive revenue, the revenue drives tax income. I was just seconding what Charlie's saying. And so, you know, it would be very hard for me to be able to give any advice on without some recommendations from you about here's where we estimate impact is going to be the greatest. If we put at risk the Margarita Festival, for instance, what's the potential impact of that? I think I need another granularity of analysis to be able to really give input.
Right. Well, that's a great point, and you know, in order to facilitate that would require, I hate to say the dreaded word, a consultant or an expert in this field to come in and tell you precisely how much the $7,500 that goes to the Avocado Mariga Festival relates back to return on investment. I know that's what people want. I want that too. But we have to be realistic about if we give Project Surf Camp $1,500, you know what I mean?
I think my point here is that when we're looking at the general fund and we're looking at cuts on the general fund, there are things that are just, we have to do without.
Right.
But when we do without these events, we cut our revenue. So this to me is it's a slippery slope place to cut, because mm-hmm. what's the impact that you're going to create on eventual tax revenue that's coming in, you know, if we impact the bookings, if we impact the, you know, the traffic into the city. So this is the area where I think there's another granularity level of risk that we're taking in making drastic cuts in the budget, while other areas are like, oh yeah, it's okay, we had to stop using a certain truck for a period of time, and it made things a little bit more difficult, right? But that doesn't impact the revenue. So that's why I'm just saying I think that we have to be careful here.
Right.
We could make more trouble for ourselves if we cut the wrong things.
Right.
I know I'm stating the obvious here.
Right.
But
it's a good point, and I know Jen probably wants to say something. I'll let her do that. But, you know, I think there's an acknowledgement, at least, you know, when our consultant helped us through the strategic plan, that there's too many events that are funded and there's no strategy here. And I think we all agree with that. You know, one of the recommendations is to not cut the whole thing. It's to kind of find compromise, as Charlie said, and that doesn't mean all these events would go away. Maybe that just means not all of them are funded.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we have ideas. We have qualitative analysis, perhaps, on some of these and what the impacts would be. And the flip side of that is, you know, what the the funding that would be reduced here would be put right back into economic development. It would just be more global economic development. Mm-hmm. Things that we have acknowledged and spent a lot of money developing plans to tell us what we need to do, but we don't have money to fund it. Unfortunately, we're in a position where we have to make choices. We would love to do both, because I agree the events, qualitatively, we know they help. Now, how much, like, TOT do they drive, you know, that the precision, we aren't there yet, and I don't know if you could.
Well, I think a qualitative analysis would be fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, how that qualitative analysis is done, we could discuss. But I think that would be fine, and I think that would be better than nothing.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. Good point. And I think Jen wanted to add something. Are you okay, or you wanted to? Yeah.
Since you're new on the board, I just wanted to give you a little background on how the events work. So this was general fund, and so last year the board made a clear definition between community events or tourism-related events. It was a clear divide because it was general fund, so we had to look at community things as well. But when the grants come in, they have to go through process of how many rooms is it going to book, how many days is the event, and then they have to report back out to the board 90 days after their event has finished, and we can see what the room bookings are. And then on our end, the visitor center staff calls the hotels and checks up like the week before the event actually starts to see, because we want to match, you know, what they're reporting, and is it equal or is it similar. So we're just keeping them in check to see how the room counts are looking.
Great, thank
yeah.
you. That's helpful. So, I mean, is this list from the top event, the most important event, to the least important event?
No, they're actually done by date. So the order is by date in the year, just so you know.
But could something like that be provided to the board so that we could look at that?
Yeah, I can just give you kind of just a quick overview. I mean, if I took out the community events, it's about $60,000 worth of funding
okay.
that we did this last year. On top of that, one of the things that is being talked about outside of this is doing a visitor center outreach kiosk situation, which would require more visitor guides to be printed, which would have to be done through general fund money because it would be extensive. It would be like $45,000 to print, you know, 100,000 guides that would be located down in downtown and on the Embarcadero and in different businesses to be handed out. So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely some things to think about.
Okay. Thank you.
Nancy, I like those ideas. That being said, it's you could hire the greatest consultant in the world, and it's such an inexact science. Mm-hmm. Idea being the San Luis Obispo kids sitting down there on the beach, that's probably leading to no hotel rooms that day. But what it is it's getting people to fall in love with Morro Bay. So how do you quantitate that? How do you, you know, figure out 10 years down the road while they're coming back to Morro Bay? Because way back then they fell in love with it. So it's such an inexact science when it comes to tourism. So we do our best job of painting that best picture to make people fall in love with Morro Bay more than just exactly how many room nights come from that event. That being said, I have a kind of a wild and crazy idea. And a little bit of my background, new to the community, only been here 18 months, new to the hotel industry, only 18 months. While that shows that I do not have a lot of experience, sometimes it's better from an outside eye looking at things and saying, you know, how do we get here, or why is it done this way? So when I look at these expenditures for the whole TOT, I'm coming up with a number about, if you can answer one quick question, Jen, the one item that says contractual services, $193,000, is that mostly towards marketing events?
It's probably mainly towards our marketing agency. Their fee is about $160,000, and then you might have possibly could be the Simple View contract on top of that, which was $40,000. So some of those would be going away. We
okay.
also had Carl that did the strategic plan. He was $24,000. So this budget will definitely change this next year. It'll free up some liquid cash that we can use towards direct marketing dollars.
Okay, so plus or minus about $600,000 of that money is spent in some form of marketing. I'm just wondering, and also an area that I'm not an expertise, is all this internet marketing. Most of it goes over my head. But you had mentioned before that everybody's getting really competitive and everybody's doing this. I think even down to the smaller businesses and maybe even some of these people on our list that are having events. So an idea that would take a while to implement is maybe our focus goes to a certain amount of our budget is done to global marketing and state. But then we utilize these people, so people could come and present to TBID, you know, why they want to run an event. and most likely even to make a profit, and that'd have to be a city question to charge for these events. But then all these people that are out here doing their own marketing, and over time they show us when they come back and want funding the next year, they're going to say, here's everything we put out. They put a slide presentation together saying we had 40,000 hits here and 50,000 hits here. You know that story of the crying otter that got so many. Well, these people could be doing that, putting their own things out there. So I'm wondering if more of a focus needs to be, we have a funding problem that may have to cut this, but as a board down the road, that maybe we look to fill our calendar. I think these events, these 22 events that we have here, probably are over 50 days, to where we could work to fill a calendar 300 days with some sort of event, some tiny, some big, you know, off-season Tuesdays, where people are competing with coming to TOT to say why we should have this on February 17th. You know, why should we give them funding? And then we're looking for them to be providing marketing of the city through that. It's a wild idea. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but maybe it's something we can bring up in future meetings.
I like it.
So after sitting with Scott, I had a nice meeting with Scott and Jennifer. I actually watched the entire city council meeting that night to watch the conversation. And, you know, I have to agree, the council was all over the place. Everybody values marketing. It was pretty clear that each council member values marketing to present our city in its most beautiful form and in the most positive light that we can possibly get it out there in. But it was all over the place. There was, you know, let's do a one-year moratorium. I would support, another one would support having the travel writers come in. It was all over the place, which is good, because then that keeps the opportunity to go. I have to say, after reading the resolution again, I'm not surprised that this has come back to us. I'm disappointed that it was so quick, but I'm not surprised. I think that, you know, we do have, this is a PPP, a public-private partnership. And we have a partnership not only to, I'm just a resident here, not only to the hoteliers who are on this board, but to the rest of the community too. It's a partnership. We're all in this, you know, bubble together. And so, you know, even though we're discussing future of having the vacation rentals come on, it's the lift has been mostly by the hotels over the last 10 years. And, you know, that's appreciated by our community. I don't want the hotels to think that that's gone missed. And even through this conversation, I don't want hotels to feel bad that, you know, some things might change here. Yeah, I look at the city's deficit issue of $325,000, and I think $157,000 only gets you part of the way there. There's a big difference between $325,000 and $150,000. And so I'm glad to hear from Scott that they're looking at doing other things as well. But I look at, you know, one man's deficit is another girl's opportunity to grow revenue. So that's where I think some creative planning needs to come in. And I've looked at last year's budget, and I think we can scrape that budget to do some things like put the journalists back into our future budget. I think that community event support is very important. I would like to see, I'm going to throw a number out there, I don't want to see it dip any further down than $75,000. Expenses have gone up. Gasoline has gone up. Everything, it's just inflationary. I do think we need to scrape the events. Personally, this is just my personal opinion, I don't think we should support, with this funding, I don't think we should support an event that takes a gate and has a profit. Those, and I think they, events we support need to be nonprofits. They shouldn't be companies that come in and are for-profit. Scraping this and looking on the internet, we have at least one event promoter on here that's a for-profit event promoter, and we supported them with funding. I would scrape them off the list probably immediately. They take a purse, they, you know, let them do it. If you're going to run your business, I mean, good for them that they got funding from us. That is a way of running your business, I guess, but let's go at it cleanly. In terms of that revenue that I'm suggesting would drop off of here, or that budgeting number that would drop off of here, I would think that it would be really important to this board, after reading the resolution that said that we would also be tasked with forms of economic development, I would strongly suggest to this city and the city council that if they really are serious about growing revenue and squeezing that deficit down, reducing that deficit so we can do things like fill the potholes behind the police department where our very expensive cars and trucks drive, if we're really interested in doing that, what we need to do is take the remaining money that exists here and get serious about adding some hotel rooms in this town and in places within our footprint that already exist. How can we walk into a hotel, like I'm going to use Amish because he's all the way down at the other end. Can we use the economic... Let's get a study going on a TOT reinvestment program, what the impact is to the general fund budget, and what the impact is for hotel room growth. Let's use that money to actually go after some serious tourism economic development, because tourism is our number one driver. And like I said, one man's deficit is another girl's opportunity for revenue growth, right? So get serious about that. I would say have the consultant go in and interview our hoteliers. What about the carports? Converting the carports that exist today in our current footprint into taking those carports and those garage spaces and converting them into rooms. At $50,000 in revenue, you do the math for your TOT. How many carports exist out there in Morro Bay that could be converted? How can, and I'm talking about hotel carports, portico shares, windbreaks. Are there other accesses for fire and safety into the parking lots? I would argue that there is. I know of a hotel right now on Main Street that has three entrances for clearance for the fire department. Their portico share could be, carport could be, you could add three rooms there. These are small ways of growing revenue, but we need to use the economic development money to look in the footprint that we have to get our revenue growth going quickly, because those, think about the building infrastructure, the building exists. The building already exists. So you're not having a footprint infrastructure, you're not having an engineering issue, you're going back and you're adding it in the existing footprint. That's growth that we can all commit to. So that's my thought on what the extra money should be used for economic development. In terms of looking at the support for the general fund coming into the bid, I would suggest somewhere in the 70. I'm going to put numbers out there because I think the council's looking for us today to come back to them with some type of concession. And I use concession in a positive way. I don't want that. Maybe concession is it. Can somebody throw another word out to me? Some
alternative.
Alternative. Thank you. some alternative. All kinds of words. We're off thesauruses. Some type of compromise or alternative that we can, the community can support, because $1 million is a big number. When we all were at the stakeholder meeting, we saw that $932,000 number come up there. We all went, wow, you know, like, we get it. And the council probably hears a lot, why are we putting $1 million towards tourism? I don't have to be in the room. I can understand where they're coming from. It's a lot of pressure to be under. So I support supporting events that are free. And if we talk about what events would go away tomorrow if we cut completely event funding, I can give you a good example of events that didn't exist when we didn't have event funding. The number one most popular event in this city that everybody says is a terrific event is the Kite Festival. The Kite Festival did not exist before it was funded with tourism dollars. It came in through a partnership with the Chamber and the Farmers Kites and Surreys, or Beachfront Kites and Surreys now, and it came in And it was funded with CPC funding, which is the community promotions money, which was general fund money. And then when that was cut, it was picked up immediately and funded with TBID funds. It would not exist today as the fantastic festival that we know if it did not get support, because it's free. It doesn't take a purse. It's 2 days. And the revenue that it provides to the city now is terrific. So I'm for funding events. I'm going to put that number back out there at about $75,000. That's about half. And I think within that, we can do some really terrific, terrific things. And I would say that we should hold a portion of that aside, and we should put an RFP out for a new event to come in on those soft shoulder seasons that can support the revenue growth, besides the economic development portion. If we make a recommendation today, I think we really do need to make a recommendation on the remaining funds to direct them to do a study about a TOT reinvestment program and growth through the existing footprint. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. One of the things that I have always thought about the sort of the gate events that charge is that we provided seed money for events that can become profitable. Mm-hmm. And once the events get legs and are on their own, we should let them free and let them on their own and not continue to fund events that are profitable, profit-making events. So I agree with you. I think $75,000 is a fair compromise to maintain the level of what we have. And I agree that we really, again, should split those community and tourist events out and really take a deep look at it. But that's something that I could support.
I would agree with Joan as well. I think we can trim some of these events. My concern here is that, you know, for the past 9 or 10 years, the economy, guys, has been relatively good. What happens when we do hit, and we will hit, another recession? I mean, we're talking about a deficit of over $300,000 now. As hotelier, I would again emphasize a point that Scott brought up, the VRRV issue. You know, as a hotelier, I don't feel that they're paying their fair share. I think that that's money left on the table. They're admittedly saying we'll pay one and a half. Let's fast track that. Let's compromise if we need to. Let's get those funds. You know, the city obviously is struggling, but that just seems like a very easy avenue to solve a lot of problems there.
Thanks, Joan, for that. I agree with most all you said. I would be careful on blanketing the idea of eliminating nonprofits. The vision that I'm formulating, and it's new, is that we want, lack of a better term, because this hasn't been thought out, we're almost selling calendar space, meaning we are going to provide these dates for your event, be it shoulder season, whatever. We want people to come in that then. Personally, I don't care if they make a profit. If they're making a profit, but in turn they can come back to the city that year, next year, and say, hey, we did this marketing here, we had this hit here, we did that hit here, we brought in this many hotel rooms. But again, they're creating this excitement to come to Morro Bay. I'm okay if they make a buck. The city might have to consider, you know, are they coming in, are they wrecking our streets and our landscaping and that? So down the road, they might even be paying to come. But at the beginning, to get that ball rolling, I'd like to see that calendar on our beautiful new website, that there's events 300 days out of the 365. Let's fill them in here. And then let them earn the right to come back the next year, is what I'm saying. And I'd be wary of nonprofits. Some of the people I know that make the most money own nonprofits. So be careful on that, just that term alone.
And just a minute. So, and one thing I would just remind the board, they're just looking for a recommendation on a dollar figure. We don't need to get into parameters of our grants at this point. We need to wait till budgets are approved by council and we have grant funds at that point. And then we can go through the applications and talk about how we want to structure those. Right now, it's just physical dollar back to council of what you agree with that would benefit us and benefit them as well. So public comment? Or anybody else on the board have any comments?
Hi. So
like hit me. So I do agree with everything, you know, most of the things Joan said it after looking at this. My name is Amit. I have a hotel in town. Been here 10 years. I'm local residence as well. The budget-wise, you know, it is true. I mean, you know, we have had journalists in the past. I mean, that's 25K. Let them write, see what it comes out. I mean, you know, rather than bringing more news, see what does that really make any difference? I mean, you know, there are so many ways it is. You know, you can cut the cost. I mean, if those events are, you know, profitable, why do we have to keep funding them again? I mean, even with the Avocado Margarita Festival, I think it started with, like, what, $2 to get in or $5, and now it's, like, 10, 12, and it's been, like, sold-out event. You know, or figure out, I mean, you know, renegotiate. There's a lot of things in here, you know, most of the stuff I see here, like a digital media, then, you know, there is other places like promotion media, then journalists, like, you know, maybe, you know, take a time, maybe, you know, look into it, reconsider a lot of, you know, most each line item, I would say, you know, salaries and benefits, you know, see if there is something, you know, you can do about that part. There's so many numbers. So, you know, I agree with everything what Joan said, because something similar, you know, I would have said if I was sitting there. Thanks.
Thank you. Susan Stewart, I was actually on the Community Promotions Committee. I was chair of it at the very end of it. I'm currently on Planning Commission, also on the Government Affairs Committee with the Chamber of Commerce. Own a business in town. I'm very grateful to all of you, and I live here too. I'm very grateful to all of you for the kinds of promotion that you're doing for the community. That new website is gorgeous. Really excited to see that coming online. Was interested to hear Lori Keller's comments about talking with the RV parks and the vacation rentals and their interest in seeing any funds they contribute going towards infrastructure and events. I had a similar feeling if we got a business bid going, especially my business is in the downtown or old town area. So if we were to do something like that, it's not so much promotion specific that we need as infrastructure improvements. We certainly appreciated the lighting. I'm excited about the signs, wayfinding signage coming forward. We need a public restroom in the downtown, not just a public toilet. We need the kinds of things that make visitors come and stay. I do see lots of people feeling that, well, we've spent a day on the waterfront, and then they come and discover Old Town, spend a day there. So I think there are ways in your marketing to stretch out what we're doing. We're starting to develop a very cool museum path, hopefully. The Historical Society Board, which I'm also on, is working towards developing a historic museum for our community. I think a partnership with the Maritime Museum and with the Natural History Museum. I think we all need to think about all the assets we have. So one of the things, if we could get that assessment with the vacation rentals and RV parks, whether that fund could be targeted for the infrastructure improvements, and maybe they become the event funding. Now, again, that's going to be down the road. That's not going to be in your 1920 budget. But it makes sense to have them buy into the idea to give them, that's the goal for your money that you're putting in. I am a big believer in diversification, because if we do hit whatever landslides in Big Sur or whatever major weather events or whatever could happen that might impact tourism, we as a community want to be there to lift you back up, to make sure our city is still generating funds to keep fire and police and public works going. So I think it's important not to put all our eggs in one basket, and to try and use whatever extra monies can be available to boost the rest of the economy, whether that's by filling some of our larger vacant places, helping get some of these big projects going. I guess that's about all. Oh,
cooperative promotion of the events. Love that concept of adding in. I do a lot of that just with my own business Facebook page, tag on to whatever I'm seeing that Jennifer's promoting, other businesses in town are promoting, pictures of the otters, pictures, you know. So, and those get a lot of hits just on my little business Facebook page. So I think that kind of cooperative, what different businesses are doing, what different large and small events are doing in town, to have that common message and that common theme going out is huge. So that's all I got to say. Thank you.
One last thing, and then I'll stop it. I like what Amir said. That'd be the perfect world. The Margarita Festival is a perfect example that the city provided funding to that early on. Now it's taken off. If we did cut that funding today, because it is a for-profit, I believe they're for-profit, I'd assume. I don't know where all that money's going. A lot of money being that they're not going to leave Morro Bay. They have a name. They're here. They're established. They're making a dollar. I don't think they're going to run to another city and try to start all over again. So that'd be the way of us providing seed money. It's kind of a private-public partnership that everybody talks about now in government. And if we could fill 30 different events a year that way, more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned.
I believe they are nonprofits, Chamber of Commerce. And just another thought, a hotelier spoke earlier about the Oyster Festival mm-hmm. and us losing that. So they could take it somewhere else. There is that opportunity. Avila Beach has great facilities for events. And so we need to make sure that we're very careful with how we, you know, move forward with these events and keep them here and make them know this is their home and we want them. It's not about that. We want to just make sure we use our dollars really well.
Dinesh Patel from the Morro Crest Inn. I was kind of wondering as far as the funding, and I could be totally off on my thought processes. If we needed the funding, would it be possible to have the restaurants? I've mentioned this again in the past. You know, give in maybe 1% of what they take in, as opposed to the motels giving in 2 or 3%, just to generate revenue. I mean, someone's going to be paying rent for like $50 a night, whereas suppose they're going to be going out to eat 3 times a day, spending hundreds of dollars. It just seems like all these events that are on a daily basis are generating more revenue for the restaurants as opposed to the motels.
Two things again. Then I agree with you, you know, that yes, event might go away, but what about reconsidering? See if they can reimburse back, you know, see if you can get that money back. You know, okay, here's the money to start with. If you make money, make profit, you know, just give it back. You know, whatever you can. I mean, 50% or whatever, you know, just, you know. And then the second thing was, I forgot. Yeah, about the adding... Actually, okay, I got it back. the speeding up the process of vacation rentals thing, you know, the faster you can implement that would be benefit to city. We're limiting out, you know, do that because even this adding vacation rentals, you know, taking after fall, it just like looks like it, you know, it takes longer. I mean, I don't know what's the process and stuff, but there is always a way. That's the way I have. You know, came up this far. It's like, I don't, you know, why would we wait? You know, summer is coming. You know, we don't let the winter go. We don't have money, we borrow, but we fix it up to make sure, you know, it's up and running, and we wait till winter, I mean, till summer to, you know, get the money back and pay off, right? So that's another thing, you know, just the process, you know, because if it's just another year, you're going to lose, and then the money, it's still there. I mean, and even, again, you know, we had discussed again in the past, too, well, reconsidering adding more rooms and stuff, you know. Hotel would love to, like, every hotel. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there are so many hoteliers they know that they can. It's just better than reconsidering raising TOT again. Because, you know, publicly, you know, the only way I look at it, then every time, you know, city run short in the money, its hotel is not always been, like, targeted that, okay, let's raise TOT, because that's hurting. Because now, with this, that's, I think, another reason, too, with the lower ADR, too, like, nobody wants to pay. Like when they see the total comes out, wow, you know, that much. Because I have property in Pismo too, and, you know, it's going 1%, you know, from 12 to 13. So we are setting example for entire county. oh, Morobe is charging 15. You know, let's go ahead and, you know, we should charge. They don't have problem. No one's complaining there. They're still busy. They're still making money. You know, let's raise up here. So we don't want to be like example like that and then still run in a low ADR. And we're just, you know, making, breaking even like every month by month or going down this year. You know, that's, you know, those things will, like, you know, you got, you know, considered before any kind of taking that step to. Thanks.
Hi, Erica Crawford with the Chamber. I wasn't going to speak. I just heard some, you know, lots of conversation about the Avocado Margarita Festival, the Avocado Margarita Festival, celebrating the avocados that grow just outside of our city limits, that are grown by, you know, many members of our fishing community as well. So there's a real connection to place on that. I just wanted to clarify the gate 2018 presale was $5. The cost at the gate was $7. We have a beneficiary program, and that's why I'm speaking, really, because the application closes on the at the end of this month, and we'd love to get more applications in. This is a profit-sharing program. So Rotary, the Estero Bay Newcomers Club, Morobe Aquatics, the Morobe High School Cheerleaders, these are all, it's over $12,000 that we're donating to local nonprofits so that we are helping everyone. So I just wanted to make sure that that was in the public record. Thank you.
All right, Board. I know that Joan and I have both mentioned a specific dollar amount that we've recommended, and I think it would be prudent for each of you to do the same.
I'd like to say that I do agree with Joan. I think $75,000 is a good starting point to start the discussion. It is disheartening to think that council would want to cut or reduce the funding. It kind of makes it feel that they don't believe that the TBID board can, I guess, prove its ROI with the money that they give us. Moving forward, I did hear some discussions that people would want to include restaurants and other retail aspects to the bid. I feel like that'd be a good place to start so that everyone can see it, and it's not just the hotels that have the bags over their heads, kind of, or on their shoulders.
Going through this list, I do agree that it's time to really come up with a strategy for events and a criteria by which they're accepted and go on the schedule to make sure, especially their support in the shoulder seasons. So I think that's actually a good thing. I think that it's time to, you know, sort of say, just because you received event funding 1 year, it doesn't mean that you're on forever. And so, I think that there's a real need for criteria of which, so, you know, it's a good idea to say, okay, this is blank. What's the criteria by which you get back on it? And what are the rules of engagement? So that's actually, I think, can be a good thing. But saying that, to just go to zero while we are still discussing VR and RV fees is a little daunting, you know. So I think it's unwise to just go to zero. Whether it's, I don't know, I'll go with Joan. I can't really assess what the amount should be, but I know it shouldn't be zero, and it probably shouldn't be less than 75. You get much lower than that, you're just cutting into muscle. So, and you're, you know, as I raised before, you're significantly putting at risk tax dollars. So it really makes no sense. And I want to second what you're saying. It shows sort of it's a very common thing that people don't understand return on investment with marketing. It is a qualitative thing. It is very difficult to assess what exact dollar, some things that you were saying, you know, what exact dollar goes into getting those kids on the beach, and does that return eventually? You know, it's very difficult, but it's we know that it drives revenue, and so I think cutting this at all is really risky. Question: I just wanted to confirm, VR and RV fees would go into general fund or go into TBID fund?
It would be part of the assessment the hotel and
okay.
motels pay into.
Okay, so. Okay. Because, you know, I think that that makes sense, you know, to find new revenue streams. I also really like Joan's idea of doing, really looking at how are we driving revenue? How are we driving revenue overall? Just I think that all of these things could be some good improvements. But I do think we have to be careful not to go to zero. We could really cause some damage.
Because I have faith that the city is working hard to check all their budgetary items, because there is a crisis at hand, I would agree with that $75,000 number.
I'm really not comfortable, you know, plucking an arbitrary number from the air. I do agree, again, that there are events that can be trimmed or can be cut. But honestly, we've been talking about the VR and RV issue for years. I'd like the city to take action on this. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say I would be comfortable cutting whatever can be added from VR and RVs to the budget. You know, let's come to a resolution there. I know it's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but let's get that extra funds, and then I would be comfortable with a equivalent cut.
I think $75,000 sounds reasonable. Personally, I know we haven't like talked about any of the events, but as someone that's been living here, I think for me, like I've been living here and there's been multiple crawls. I feel like if we were to cut some events, I think we could, for me, I've never done one of the crawls. I don't think anyone's going to come from like Orange County or San Francisco to join a crawl. So that's one thing that when I look at that list of events, I don't think that's really driving revenue. That's not really bringing any guests to my hotel. I agree with the 75, and I think if we needed to cut some events, maybe we could look into the crawls.
So I hear Stephen about not just grabbing an arbitrary number and really looking at replacing the revenue with a stream of revenue that would be consistent and likely grow year over year. I don't think we'd be having this conversation right now with the city council. I know in my mind that we would not be having this conversation right now back and forth with city staff and city council had revenue to the city grown by at least $325,000, right? Okay. So, but somehow we didn't quite get there for the city. And that's a responsibility we have, is to figure out better ways and Nancy, you really put it out there well, better ways to express ROI measurements for this marketing, because that $932,000 number is a very large number for a very small community. And we need to really hold ourselves accountable for it. We need to have revenue growth goals that are separate than a budget number. A budget number is separate than a goal growth. I love the idea of getting the vacation rentals in here for a conversation sooner rather than later. Stephen, you are totally right. But I don't, with what city staff has tasked with the wastewater treatment plant, which is huge, it's a giant undertaking for a very small city staff, with the wastewater treatment plant and some of the other major things that are going on in the community, I don't see this happening before fall. And in my mind, part of the $75,000 number is it's a stopgap measure until we get there with the vacation rentals. It's a stopgap for a next year budget when they come in into the fold at whatever percentage and are assisting the lodging community with marketing our fabulous destination. The other thing I really want to stress is that the remaining money, I would love, love, love for this board to recommend to the city council that they really do focus on either having their finance committee or their internal staff, or having an external, I hate to say the
I'm not even going to say the... Charlie said it, I didn't say it. I have a really, really well done look at where we can do growth inside of our current footprint. Inside of our current footprint, so that we're not really impacting our residents hugely. So that would, for me, be part of a really terrific recommendation. And then I think that, you know, we should definitely, when it comes back to our budget time, besides setting our budget numbers, we should set a growth number. But right now, to support events, I am okay with the $75,000 number and hope that we can spend some of that, make a recommendation for some of the remaining to have a really good comprehensive look at where we can do some internal growth measures.
Thank you all. Jennifer, where do we go from here?
I just wanted to clarify, because I maybe didn't state it well in the beginning, that budget issue is not a revenue issue, mm-hmm. right? I mean, our revenues are actually performing pretty well. It's just they can't keep pace with the severe escalation of costs we have no control over. So in no way is this a reflection upon our hotel industry or our business community. We're actually doing pretty well, all things considered, even the challenges that I mentioned earlier today. I mean, we're performing well. So there's no reflection upon you, nor any lack of gratitude for what the hotel industry does for our community and for the city. So I just want to put that out there, and I'm speaking for council when I say that, I think. But yeah, I just want to make sure that it's not because you aren't performing well. It's these issues are occurring that we all have to grapple with as a community on the expenditure side. So really, really appreciate the good dialogue up there. And there's a lot that we can work with on the staff side about how to bring stuff forward as it relates to the event strategy and developing criteria. We're also doing that for community support funding that we do for nonprofits that help low-income folks. We really haven't had a criteria there before, and we're working as staff to create something like that. It's a meager amount. It's only $20,000 or $15,000 that we allocate, but they are meaningful dollars, and we should have criteria to help make good decisions. And same goes for fees that are charged to events, making sure we have good criteria for that as well. Thank you.
We appreciate city staff. I have to tell you, the tone here is so fantastic. This dialogue back and forth with city staff, super appreciative. So I think our city staff does a great job, and especially with the outreach to not only the business community, but there's a lot of residents you guys outreach to. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you all. I'd like to entertain a motion regarding our recommendation to maintain a $75,000.
Did you make the
I'm
motion?
Entertaining a motion. I can't make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that the T-Bid board makes a suggestion to cut funding to the transfers in from the general fund contribution from the current $157,000 to $75,000.
I second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions or abstaining? Or a nay?
Nay.
We got one nay.
I just have a quick question. When staff takes this back to City Council, will you be taking back an additional portion of, I guess, what our conversation was here today? Back and forth, or does it just go back as the motion? How does that work?
So the dollar amount goes back as a recommendation to council to be input into their budget process. And if the other discussion you reference is the events, is that what you mean, or is it the how to use the other economic uh-huh. development funds?
Right.
I mean, I think we can take the conversation was pretty wide ranging, but there was some things to note, including that point of really focusing some of those economic development dollars into understanding how to utilize existing hotel stock to raise itself up. But if you want to provide a formal motion, we can also take that as well.
No, I feel confident you're taking it forward. So
okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And we are going to move on to item number B3. Thank you, Scott. Really appreciate your time and all of the information. This is the wine
promotion, Mine Merchant Co-op, added value promotion that we're looking for. Jennifer?
Thank you, everyone, for coming. So this, I think this will be fairly quick, and I'll get you guys out of here. It's been a long morning, I know. So this is the same promotion that we did last year. It's a free bottle of wine for any visitor that stays two nights in the month of September and October, if that's the months we choose. And what I'm looking for is just approval to start the RFP process, if you agree that we want to do the wine promotion. Last year, I hand-walked it out to all of the appropriate people that could, you know, facilitate the redemption, and I only had one person respond to the RFP. So I'm hoping now that I have physical numbers, because we did one year, that we'll get better response from a couple other downtown vendors.
Jen, can I ask how September, October was chosen?
It's wine month. It's California wine month, and the county does a huge wine promotion. We don't have to do September, though. If you want to just start it in October, that's fine, too. I mean,
it's funny. I was thinking maybe October, November, since September numbers are always good.
Mm-hmm. Or just one month. We could just go with one month. We could just do October, because November does pretty good. We're going into holidays, and people are out of school. I think we ran this right before Thanksgiving last year.
So. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It is good from Thanksgiving on, but that first half of November.
So we could end it the Monday, the weekend before Thanksgiving, if you wanted to do that. I have no problem with that.
I just wanted to add, a lot of the guests that did come to the hotel for two-night stays didn't realize that there was a wine promotion. So they were pretty pleased to have that. But I don't feel that the people that stayed came because there was a wine promotion to spend extra $80 to $100 for a second night for a $5 bottle of wine was a big kick for them.
Yeah. You know, it's an added value item. They might have seen the ad, and it made them go over to look at your hotel, but they might not have remembered it. There's no way to track that, unfortunately. But it is a good added value, and hotel guests like free stuff. So, I mean, I know there's at least one hotel on the board that offers wine right regularly with room stays and does pretty well. I don't know if you want to comment on how it works for your hotel, Chris.
Better than that, I was just going to say that it's another reason they fall in love with Morro Bay. You know, they don't always know why they fell in love with Morro Bay, but that little bottle of wine might be just the reason that gets them to come back. And another reason why you may want to move it, those later dates we're talking about, it might become a regular thing. I have such a great time every time I come that first week in November. They might not know it's the free bottle of wine, but I think there is a value.
Yeah,
if we're not paying for it.
And right? And for first year, 600 bottles, I'm really happy with that. That's pretty strong for first year. So I would expect it to do better next year. So
I think this is a great promotion, and I would like to entertain a motion to approve it.
Any other questions?
I have a question. So everything I've been reading I like the idea of doing this one month, and if I like the idea that if we're going to do this, we only do it for one month. I'd like to see us reserve the other funding, because everything and you probably all have seen this too, everything I've been reading is that jet fuel prices and gas fuel prices are going to skyrocket significantly, especially through the summer months. That has a direct impact on how many people we actually can get into town. The reason I mention that is because we are a 2.5 to 3.5 at the outliers 5-hour drive market. Our people all get here by drive. We don't have a train. We don't have a Greyhound bus depot. We don't have an airport. And we don't bring in cruise ships. So our tourists drive here. And if we reserve some of this money, one of the promotions that we did in the past when we started to see less pressure on hotel rooms was to give a gas card as a get instead of a bottle of wine. Maybe we should consider hang off, and we could always extend it to 2 months at the end of summer. You know, you could extend out November like Jen really successfully did last year. But if we need those dollars in September to have at least stabilize any situations, we would at least have them to maybe help with a gas promotion or something. Or maybe the wine promotion, add it back in, whatever would be successful in Jennifer's mind. But maybe just reserve those funds. That's just my thoughts.
Right now, I think what we're trying to get to is an RFP that would go out to wineries to co-op with us. Mm-hmm. So that's this issue. Anything else would be something separate, like a gas card.
We can talk about it in our marketing plan and budget when that comes.
And I'm fine with gas cards. We've done them before, and they do work. But this issue is wine merchant co-op. Do we have any public comment about the wine merchant co-op program? Seeing none, moving on.
Get the tourists inebriated, they're more likely to stay in the hotels, right? No, we do a wine and cheese at a couple of our properties for 2 hours a night. We've tried to take it away, and it was a fiasco.
Yeah.
They get used to it. They love it. They love it. So I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve staff to move forward with an RFP for the wine merchant co-op.
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
Is that for the full 2 months? Is that what you wanted for the full 2 months? Who made the motion?
I made the motion.
Sorry, Stephen. I didn't hear. Didn't see who made the motion. Is that? Are you saying for the 2 full months?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Second still stand. Any more comment? Any more questions? Any concerns? Seeing none, we're going to call for a vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 That passes. Now we're moving on to a declaration of any future agenda items. Anyone here have anything they'd like to bring up, put on the agenda? I hear silence. I am going to take a look at the clock and say that we are at 11:18, and we're going to call this meeting to adjournment, and I want to thank everybody for being here today. Especially my wonderful board. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.